Welcome to the Finding Moments Podcast.
Welcome to the Finding Moments Podcast, Episode 3. With me is Tricia and Linnell.
Hi.
Hello.
Linnell was kind enough to send over a bunch of articles, and Trish and I spent the day looking through them. One of them really struck my eye, and it's just a lot about what Finding Moments is about. And the article is, Do You Really See Your Child? In the end, truly seeing your kids isn't about being some sort of super parent. You don't have to read minds or transcend your shortcomings or achieve spiritual enlightenment. And you certainly don't have to drive yourself and your family insane trying to attend every available enrichment activity. You just have to show up, allowing your kids to feel that you get them and that they'll be there for you and you will be there for them no matter what. When you do that, you'll be teaching them how to love, how relationships work. They'll be more likely to choose friends, partners who will see them and show up for them. They'll be more likely to learn how to do it for others, meaning that they'll build the skills for healthy relationships, including with their own kids, who can then pass on the lesson down the line through future generations. That's what it means to see, really see your child. Then maybe someday they'll sit down with you for that cup of coffee and let you know how grateful they are for the way that you saw them for who they were and for the ways that you showed up in their life. I don't know that I could have said it any better. It just sums up so much for what we believe.
Yeah, I think at those everyday small moments, those are the ones that, you know, you really, those are the ones that you remember. It's not the big events that you plan. It's those just everyday small things that, you know, I know with my daughter and I, we have those little inside jokes that have just come from like random moments of just spending time together.
Yeah, I think every family has some of those that no one else could possibly understand. And those are the best kind, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely. And those things have just happened because we're, you know, in the process of living life together and just sharing that time together. It's not because we set up a time to have fun or set up a specific time to spend together. It just happens. But when your child's like right there with you and in the thick of things with you, you're going to have those moments. And sometimes it gets you through moments.
You know, I travel a lot during the summer usually, but COVID has been a unique opportunity where I've been able to be home for a summer. First time in years. And to sit down and be able to truly be with my boys and my kids and my family and be here every day and see not only the fun moments when dad's around, but see the tough moments or when they're having a hard day or just when Trish needs a break. Those are the special moments. Those are the ones that I'm going to remember. And I truly believe with Finding Moments and what we hope to do with the podcast is to have the discussion about what's important. And I don't know that it's about quantity. I think it's just about quality. And sometimes it's the easiest things that you don't think mean anything. It's the putting Lucky Charm marshmallows in a hot chocolate cup for your kids at breakfast. They'll go bananas. Just do it once. It's totally cool. Saturday morning cartoons, I've mentioned this before. They love those moments. Trying to watch your youngest flip a pancake and watch it fall on the floor and the dog eat it. That is absolutely gold. Yeah. But those are the things they're going to remember. And it's not about quantity. It's just about taking the time.
Yeah, and I think there is a lot of controversy around quantity versus quality. And you see a lot of different opinions, a lot of different articles that have come out about it. But I think what it boils down to is it's the quality of the time that you have with your child. Obviously, you can't just say, I'm spent 5 seconds with my kid. I'm done and cross it off my list. So I understand, you know, the people that say quantity is also important. But I think it's really what you do with the time that you have with your child, not make time for your child. And I think that's the trap that I fall into. I mean, working and life, you know, I find this thing in the back of my head, are you making enough time? Are you making enough time? Like, well, I can't make time to begin with. And it's really not about that. It's about the time that we have and her being part of it. You know, her being in the kitchen while I'm cooking, you know, her being, you know, with me when we're running errands. Like, we really have the best time running errands together. And now that she's gotten older, she's like, oh, let's get in the car and we'll listen to a podcast, you know? So we have all these things that we share that are just part of everyday life moments. I don't feel like I have to make extra time. She's part of my time.
Now, have you found, since your daughter is slightly older than our boys, have you found that process gets easier as the kids get older?
I think it changes. You know, I mentioned like clean the closet. I remember when she was really little, like what she'd basically do is take my shoes on and off the whole time. I can actually have a picture of her doing this.
Awesome.
But, you know, she was having fun and it was quality time enough that I have a photo memory of it. You know, it was funny. Mm-hmm. So I think it just changes. You know, now she's a pretty good organizer. She'll like, Mom, let me take care of that for you. Or
that's awesome.
Get rid of this. Please don't wear it anymore. You know, that kind of thing.
Yes. A phenomenon that I am unfamiliar with boys. Cool. I feel like we're just maybe entering that phase with our youngest, who's in first grade, and he's almost to the point where he can recognize that there's a job to be done first, and that it isn't always about getting treats in the grocery store line and all about him all the time. Almost there. Not quite.
Well, I think it's different too. I mean, because of my job and working with kids that are young and developing all of their, you know, developmental skills and going through all that, I was very cognizant of that with my daughter. So I always knew like our daily routines are important. Bath time routine, you know, make that a shared social moment because there's so much you get out of it. Getting dressed, like, you know, those are things, there were so many things within routines and like brushing teeth and, you know, things like that. Like we had a lot of silly things that we embedded in that because they were shared moments, but it was also there to like teach her independence and make this something that I could model for her. And we did it together. And so I always had that back in my head. But what I realized is that as she got older, it actually was helping make us closer. Like we were doing these things together and we were closer because of it.
Interesting. Is there like a specific example you could share?
Just cleaning house. We have our own little routines and everything, but she's always kind of with me when I do that. And it's actually become a time like you're both doing something. So I guess the pressure's off. And I've noticed that she's becoming a teenager now. She will open up about things. And I think it's because she doesn't feel like she's on the spot, but we have some really enlightening conversations and I'm glad we have those. I'm glad that we have those moments where she feels like, oh, I'm just going to kind of throw this out there and see what mom responds to.
Interesting. You know? Okay, cool.
So yeah, I think like, believe it or not, like, yeah, I taught her how to clean with me because I wanted her to have all those developmental skills and gain independence. But now it's become this thing where we do it together and she's, you know, like I said, she doesn't feel like, you know, I'm the mom with my, you know, interrogation lamp on her. A little easier for her to open up. But I think that those are just that is so much, so worthwhile to me as a parent of a teenager.
I think one of the things that we're realizing is that time is finite. And moments are just that. They're just on the spot. But when we first had our boys and we're raising them, it's not even a thought. And it just occurred to Tricia and I, we're 4 years from having our oldest drive a car. Wow. Okay, now we're 6 years from him talking about college and all the things that we haven't taught him. And then you start to get the stress. And then you start to think, okay, now we got to spend more time. We've got to try to relay these values. And then you just got to kind of like ease up on yourself because then you'll miss that moment. And what's special about being 12. And I think that's a challenge that a lot of parents struggle with.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think I feel like I've entered a time warp. Like time goes so fast once you have children and you almost like, it's like you can't soak it up quick enough and then they're on to something else or they're growing and you know, all these changes that are happening and it's hard like to really feel like, am I capturing this? Am I there for this? But I think that just the idea of like pausing and connecting, I love that idea and I try to remember it. I think no matter what I'm doing, pause and really connect. Like how fast I get dinner on the table is not as important as did I have some moments with her? Like was this a together thing? You know, just remembering that, yeah, we all want to get the chores done so we can sit down. But sometimes just taking those moments while you're doing that to connect to your child is really important too. The pausing connecting means more, I think. And that's probably the part of the quality is that it's really you are having active engagement with your child, that there's kind of this reciprocity and back and forth. You share something. You know, as a parent, sometimes we have a tendency to direct and tell them how to do things. Like, that's not how you fold the pillowcase, you know. And then I realized, you know what, it can't just be the director all the time. You know, you won't have a real relationship that way. Mm-hmm. So just taking that moment to let them give you feedback and to listen to what they say. And, you know, she did something to us like, you know what, that's actually a really good idea. Giving them time to have input and taking their input, I think is really important.
Yeah.
One of the articles that you'd sent over talked about how a child does need time to learn how to handle themselves, grow, imagination, play, and to have a thought. What I thought was interesting about that article was it was talking about how we put pressure on ourselves to go by a schedule and have so many hours and check a list, like you said earlier. However, the average amount of time spent by a parent with a child has been going up over the years. It's more than it used to be back in the 60s, 70s that it is now. And I'm paraphrasing, but the average time a mom spends with a child is around 10, 11 hours a week, like one-on-one dedicated, and a father is around 3 hours a week. That's actually up from what it used to be, but yet we feel more stressed about it. So is it that we're putting more pressure on ourselves? Are we being helicopter parents? Are we missing the moment in the effort to try to get the moment?
I think so many things have changed in our lives, honestly. I mean, we all say like, oh, we have all this technology. We have all this. It's supposed to like make things easier. Yeah, you hear everybody say like, why am I so stressed out? I have all of this and I'm more stressed. And I think that parenting has changed. You know, if you look back, it really was that the mom stayed at home and the mom's job was to take care of the house and raise the kids, and women didn't work like they do now. Now, most families, both parents are working. And so I think there's this idea of like, well, how do we, again, back to that, how we make time for our kids if we're both working and we're both doing these things? And I think that that's where some of the stress comes from. And I think it's really interesting because you look at other cultures and they don't have the stress around parenting the way that we do, because their kids are just part of everyday life. Like they help them with the kitchen. They help like that. It is, they're just there and part of it all. Become where we've gotten to this thing, like we have dedicated time. So I'm cooking dinner, you go watch your TV show or play your video game, and then we'll meet in the dining room to eat. And some families, really, their schedules are so hectic that there really isn't a family mealtime anymore. So I think that in some ways, things have changed and we're trying to figure out how to compensate for it. And of course, parent guilt, I think that's always been around, right? Like you're always worried you're not doing enough or you're not doing it the right way. And
I think that's true of most people. And I don't know where it came from. It's pervasive in a lot of ways, and it's not a specific, you know, it's not like you have to turn it in to the school or the doctor's office or anything. I spent the such and such hours with my kids this week.
Right. It's not like I have to do a timesheet for that, right?
Right. Exactly. But it is this strange pressure. And I don't know where it came from, but I certainly feel it too.
Part of technology has been helpful and you can't run from it because it can't help you. But I remember when our phones weren't iPhones. This technology hasn't been around that long. They were Blackberries. And I remember one of the first Blackberries coming around and a manager in my office going, this is going to free me and I'm going to have so much more time and I can go fishing and answer an email and spend it with my kids. Now it's an iPhone. Now I can do my bank account and I can schedule soccer practice and doctor appointments, and I can do all of my business on my phone, look at my screen. And that has in some ways taken away the separation of family time to where you could put it down and then go have those moments with your family. And I think that if we can discipline ourselves, free ourselves of the guilt, put it down for a minute and spend that moment, it doesn't have to be 2 hours of time. 20 minutes can be that memory that they remember and it'll be there. And that's the treasure. And I think that's what's changed.
I think that's true. And I think that when it becomes something, and I'm just as guilty as everybody else with my phone, like I always know where my phone is. It's always somewhere close by. I also think that it's really important, like today, put our phones aside and we did a puzzle together. Like we literally ended up, like we didn't want to stop because we got really compulsive about it. But we spent probably 2 hours on the puzzle. But then I looked down at my phone and I had 25 texts. And somebody was like, did you not get my message? And well, messaged me 2 hours ago. I was spending time with my daughter, you know?
Right.
And
right.
So I think that's one of those things, we don't allow ourselves to do that. But I love the idea, like with some families that do the fishbowl at dinner and everybody puts their phone in the fishbowl.
Like an actual fishbowl.
Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. You
can do, right.
You could use Tupperware if you wanted, I guess. But yeah. the concept's the same. But yeah, just have those moments where you really do have to spend time with each other and you have to talk to each other and engage with each other. I mean, that's really what we were talking about, right? Is that the quality time is engaging with your child, having an active moment where you're really engaged with your child and sharing something. So I think that that's an important thing because electronics definitely get in the way. Like, you don't want to stop and answer an email when your kid is, you know, you don't know what's going through your kid's head. Maybe they're gearing up to tell you something really important. And you've lost that moment.
One thing that has motivated me is the song Cats in the Cradle, Harry Chapin. And I would encourage everybody, if you haven't truly looked at the lyrics, not just listen to the song, but look at the lyrics. I had the privilege about 12 years ago to see his brother play in a show. And I was up close and I got to meet with him. I was basically working production for him. And he played this song and it just was haunting to me. And that was at the moment that I need to take that and incorporate that into my being a dad and know that I don't want to have that regret later on that my kids watched how I behaved and I shoved them aside. And then I come back in my older life and realize that they don't have time for me because they're behaving just like me. They grew up just like me. We put stress on ourselves for the quantity and checking the list. They're never going to remember that. So pick those moments, Saturday morning cartoons, be at baseball practice with them, help them with their theater practice or their band practice. Trish has taken a lot of time reading Harry Potter to our youngest and he soaks it up and they want that time. They crave it and you can always find it.
Yeah, no, I think that that's the thing. It's there, right? It's not even that you had to find it. You just have to be willing to share that time. Don't think like my kid can't be part of dinner or my kid can't be part of cleaning up or my kid can't be part of laundry. Yes, we have all those things that have to get done. Everybody has to have clean clothes. You have to have food, but your kid can be part of that. They don't have to be, it's not an either or kind of thing. And I think that again, like what we said in the beginning, that's when you have those memorable moments. That's when you get those inside jokes or those family things like, remember when you did this, you know? And I know I've said this before, but like, you know, your relationship, the parent-child relationship is the first relationship your child ever experiences. That really sets the foundation for what the relationships are going to be like in the future. And we all want our kids, right, to pick the right relationships and the right friends and the right partner. And all of that really is like based on how did we teach them how to interact with other people? Did we teach them to connect? So I think that is an important part of it.
Boy, on one hand, we're no pressure, but there is still pressure on a lot of this stuff. And I feel like that's a fine line to walk both sides of.
And you're right, because I can see it, like my type A personality is like, okay, when you pause and connect, is it the best moment ever?
Right. Yes, exactly. Are we going to remember this in 15 right. years? Yeah.
Is every moment going to be that memorable moment? Just let them happen. Just have that connection with your kid because it does come back. Like I was saying, like I realized at the house cleaning that day that she just kind of opened up about something. And I realized, wow, this meant one thing when she was little, but I just realized like what I got out of this, like developing this routine with her. Mm-hmm. Like, I realized like I always, again, another parent worry. Am I still going to be connected to her when she's a teenager?
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah.
You never run out of parent worries, right? So it just made me feel like I really got something out of this. I'm so glad that we've made this part of our routine together. And I didn't like, it wasn't like I was setting out to do that or anything. It happened because we just were pausing and connecting. We had that time.
We drove just a short distance to an open space near where we live and went on a hike this morning. Hike. I use that term very, very loosely. Walk with the dog is probably more accurate. But we have tons of prairie dogs near us. And our youngest thought that was the best thing ever. Because they were pretty close, maybe 20, 30 feet at the most. So the dog, of course, wanted to go chase them and eat them, but both the boys were having a great time noticing them and listening to the sounds, and it's still somewhat of a novelty. I think that's probably something they'll remember, which is awesome.
I think too, being aware of like just to, pausing enough to be aware of what's happening around you so that we're not so tunnel vision, I have to get this done. And then you start to realize like there's so many things to kind of layers under other things that you're not even planning for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't set out to go find prairie dogs. We went to go take the dog.
I'll preface that our dog is a husky and a hunter and would eat the prairie dog. So there was a lot of cat and mouse going on, no pun intended. Kind of going back to the articles and some of the talking points that we wanted to touch on today. You wanted to go through parenting styles. So reciprocal interactions versus directed interactions.
Well, some of it, I mean, we could probably talk about, you know, do a whole podcast on parenting styles, because I think there is something to each parent knowing their style. And there's this idea of like, you can only be a permissive parent, you can only be an authoritative parent. But really, people are kind of a combination of those things, depending on the situation that they're in. And when parents kind of realize, like, when they take an assessment and kind of look at that, they can realize like, well, I lean towards this, you lean towards this, and it can make parents co-parent much better too. Because you kind of like have a discussion on like, okay, this is your strength here and this is my strength here, but hey, we can use this together and we'll be awesome parents, right?
Right, right.
So I think that is an important thing. And like, you really want to teach your kids relationships. Well, relationships are learned, like we said before, kind of like what you model for your child. And a lot of that is your parenting style. And I remember reading an article about parenting style, and I hope I have this right, but it was, I think, 70% of parents in the U.S. were permissive parents, and I was, or uninvolved parents.
Ooh.
And I was so shocked that it would be that high, like how that just kind of blew my mind. So I think that looking at that really is an important component. You know, reciprocal interactions are important because a relationship is people giving and taking. And if you don't teach your child, if you're always directing, your child doesn't learn to be the giver, right? They're just the one following through with things. You also want your child to learn how to direct relationships and be an initiator in a relationship. So I think that's really important too, that we allow our child to sometimes have a turn in the relationship, that we're not always telling them what to do or telling them that this is the way it needs to be done or taking control.
Interesting.
I mean, we're there to guide them, right? Obviously, you know, but I also thought it was interesting. There's a research study that looked at stress, happiness, and well-being for people. And the people that had more social communication interactions with family and friends, they actually scored better on their stress and happiness and well-being than the people that had the higher physical activity levels. So they tracked like the number of communications you had, text, in person, phone, all of that, along with the fitness tracker.
Okay.
And it wasn't, not that obviously, you know, being physically active does have you know, positive effects, but it was interesting that the social connection was so important.
That is interesting. And especially right now, when that's much more difficult to achieve than average.
We're just now starting to get an awareness of mental health. I mean, this is a developing awareness, and tools are coming out. We focus on it for adults, but it's just as important for the kids too, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, because that's all their social emotional development is taking place. Like, this is where they learn it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's a really important piece. But I will say, yes, we don't have the same number of social activities and engagement, but we have more family time together. We're at home more together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really looking at that, like, how do we make this time? You know, yeah, we're not going to go out and do this. We're not going to go out to dinner here or go see this movie, but what can we do at home that still has that element of it? For us, you know, sometimes you are tired as a parent, right? Like, Friday, we watch TV shows. I'm not going to lie. That's what we do. We sit in front of the TV as a family.
That's okay.
But, you know, it was Friday. Everybody's just drained. But I think, too, like, you know, on Saturday, we had meals without phones, a meal without phones. That's really important, where you have to talk to each other. You have to communicate. So I think that just looking at that, and like today, like for a walk earlier today in the park, and then we did a puzzle this afternoon, I think just trying to kind of regroup what is your entertainment and accessing that together, because you can still have socialization as a family. You know, not that it's not important to connect with your friends and stay connected. That is a very important piece. But I think just it does give you some more time as a family than we have had previously.
Sure.
Well, I think some of the ways as well that we're learning as a family is it's not just about parent to child, and there's all different forms of caregivers. So there's single family homes, there's aunts and uncles, there's grandma and grandpas. So I don't want to assume that every family is the mom and dad relationship. Whatever the dynamic is, the same rules apply. So when you were talking about trying to allow different modes for the child, not just directing, but being able to take direction, you know, a lot of times with our boys, we allow them to negotiate with us. And what's proven over time, it's not the easy way, but we see that our 12-year-old likes to negotiate with us. He's getting really darn good at proving an argument, and he's starting to win some of them.
Yeah.
But he's able to logically think it out and prove a case. That's not bad. And that's also a moment. That's also quality time in teaching them how to hold their own, how to formulate a thought. I think that that's an important part of the development.
Yeah, I think that a child is going to be more confident and feel more empowered when you listen to them and you value what they have to say. My daughter and I had a discussion about baking cookies, and she... You know, I said something about like, oh, you think that's too much batter? She said, I'm good at this. And the cookies came out. I'm like, you know what? These are perfect. You had just the right amount. Just like those little kind of things of acknowledging. It's easy as a parent to say, you didn't do that right, or that's not enough, or well, I don't know. We just tend to kind of be more directors and just really valuing what they can do. And she was very proud of herself over those cookies. She said, I'm going to take some over to my friend's house.
I think the general theme of the night is everybody should, if they had a piece of advice from us, take it easy on themselves as parents, caregivers. Don't stress about the amount of time. Find the moments, but sometimes you find them, I hear you, Linnell, by not looking for them. So take the time, listen to the child, and enjoy them because they're fleeting. But that moment will always be there if it's the right one.
Also, be a relationship teacher. Model what you expect. And then when stuff breaks down and gets crazy, ask your child what could have been done better. I bet you'll be surprised by what they have to say.
I would say don't focus on the idea of making time. Focus on connecting with your child because those moments are there. Don't stress out. That's part of your everyday existence.
So I think we covered a lot tonight. I want to thank everyone for listening. If you found our conversation helpful, we invite you to join us by subscribing to the Finding Moments podcast. And we encourage you to find that one-on-one moment in your family, with your children, in your circle, in a meaningful way.
We look forward to catching up with everyone again soon.
See you soon.